Hello, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Samara Rosenfeld, and I'm the Associate Editor of CHE. Today, I will be joined over Zoom by Ryan Ribera, co-founder and CEO of SimX, a medical device company that develops medical simulation software for virtual and augmented reality. On this episode, we discuss the simulation learning system for RN with virtual reality to bring realistic and highly effective VR simulations to nursing schools, what healthcare executives should look for when they want to implement such technology, and challenges associated with virtual reality. Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining me today on this episode of Databook. Can you start by telling the audience a little bit about yourself and your position at SimX?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Ryan Rivera. I'm actually an assistant professor of emergency medicine at Stanford and a practicing emergency medicine doc there, and then CEO of SimX. I guess a little bit about my background. I actually worked in quality improvement and patient safety before launching SimX. I worked for CMS and AHRQ, kind of building packages of metrics to try to make care safer. And actually, that was the background that SimX was born from. You know, I realized that metrics are fine and good, but what really helps make care safer is simulation. And so we launched SimX to use VR to make simulation cheaper, easier, and more realistic.
Elsevier recently announced the launch of the Simulation Learning System for RN with Virtual Reality, a digital solution that combines cutting-edge virtual reality technology from SimX with healthcare content from Elsevier to bring realistic and highly effective VR simulations to nursing schools. Can you tell us a little bit about that technology?
Yeah, so this was a great partnership. It's based on SimX's underlying VR simulation engine and the curriculum from the experts there at Elsevier. So basically what it lets you do is put a wireless, $300 headset on your head. You get your virtual patient in front of you. You can talk to them. You can stethoscope them, ultrasound them, diagnose and treat the medical problems, and basically practice your skills in a safe environment. It covers a wide variety in the curriculum, everything from home health, nursing, and psych evaluations, all the way up to multi-patient, multi-trauma, where you're managing 5-6 patients simultaneously, and very complex, mother-baby resuscitation scenarios as well. So it's 100 cases, it's approximately 2,000 hours of training content, represents what we think is the largest VR training curriculum really ever created. It's got some really cool features to it too, in that you can do multiplayer training, so students can take headsets home with them, and they can join via the internet, and they can see each other, talk to each other, work together around the same virtual patients. You can also have students all in the same room working around the same virtual patient, and everything will be lined up in VR so they can walk around the room and interact with each other and the patient. If they high-five in VR, they'll high-five in real life, and everything will be aligned. So it really facilitates a wide breadth of team-based training for undergraduate nurses.
How many nursing schools is this deployed at?
Well, so we actually just launched the product almost 2 weeks ago. So not even 2 weeks ago. So the very first institutions who had pre-ordered it are getting set up, which is two or three. We've got several more orders coming in for this curriculum. For SimX generally, we've been selling the product for the last couple of years. And so we have quite a few institutions that are using our VR simulation engine around different curricula. So Mayo Clinic, Northwestern, University of Pennsylvania, the VA, the Air Force uses SimX's VR training to train their special forces medics across around 20 bases. And we've got over 400 unique institutions that are using it to do COVID-based training. Around COVID triage and inpatient COVID evaluation, so it's really spreading very rapidly, especially in the last year. With COVID, a lot of institutions couldn't use their traditional sim techniques, and so VR simulation offered a way for them to be able to continue to practice their skills.
How else can VR be used other than for training, nursing students, or even
you know, providers who are already, you know, done with school?
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunities within the training realm specifically. So it's not just for nursing students. Obviously, we have trainings for advanced medical practitioners, for physicians, for medics, for EMTs. We actually just got our first contract to do veterinary training. And that's a great use case, actually, because it's very hard for people who are doing veterinary training to get access to simulation mannequins of, you know, every single species of animal that they're going to be required to evaluate. But it's much easier to replicate those in VR. So we're very excited about that. We've got our first chiropractic school that we're launching with VR training soon. We've got a couple dental schools who we've been talking with. And then actually, I just met with some firefighter training programs. And I think that's really an excellent use case for VR training, because right now in firefighter training, they literally build mock houses and then burn them down so that they can have some semblance of the experience of what it will be like when they're actually, you know, in their practice environment. And that's obviously very resource intensive, but with virtual reality, you can replicate those kinds of environments very easily. So, I mean, I really think that virtual reality will make simulation accessible to a wide variety of industries where it was very challenging previously.
You mentioned your technology is being used by schools and institutions across the country. Have you, you know, heard of any positive outcomes from your technology?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of our early customers are doing research right now on the tech. And the research that's come out of it that's going to be in publication soon is all very positive. I mean, shows benefits of VR training over really traditional simulation methods. And I think that's actually already pretty well established. If you look at the literature, you know, there have been people studying VR in medical training for, you know, up to a decade in various forms. And generally speaking, when you're using the right applications, the value of the technology is very obvious. I mean, with traditional mannequin-based sim, I mean, your patient really can't have traumatic injuries, they can't have a rash, they can't have a stroke. So there's a lot of things that you really can't simulate effectively with traditional sim. And then you layer on top of that the fact that with VR training, you can have really any environment, an ED, an OR, you can pull someone out of a burning car and resuscitate them on the ground. You can be in a moving transport helicopter. And, you know, I think in real medical practice, it is as much about managing the environment, you know, the frightened family members and the other team members in the room who you need to coordinate with, as it is managing the medicine. And I think that's probably why the outcomes for VR training tend to be very good, is because it lets you train not just the medicine, but also the surrounding environmental complexity.
What should healthcare executives look for when looking at VR technology to potentially implement in their health system?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, I think from a healthcare executive perspective, one of the best things about this is that it is not just more realistic, it is also easier and cheaper. So new VR headsets, you know, like the Oculus Quest 2, sell for $399. And you compare that to investing in traditional sim mannequins, which are often $50,000 to, you know, up to $200,000 a pop. I mean, this is a really easy way and cheap way for you to expand your sim capacity. So, you know, at a lot of institutions, you know, who have already invested in mannequin-based sim technology, they might find that they still have a waiting list, right? Because they're just so many people who want to do sim. This is a way that you can very cheaply make any empty classroom into a sim center. I mean, you can fit four or five headsets into a backpack and set them up in 5 or 6 minutes. And it makes it very easy to lecture in the front of the room and sim in the back, or make it part of small group sessions, or like we mentioned, send students home with headsets so they can sim from home. So it is one of those rare opportunities to leverage technology to do something better, but also easier and cheaper. And so I think from a healthcare executive perspective, if you're looking to integrate SIM or you're looking to expand your SIM programs, I think this would be very appealing.
What about when it comes to challenges of VR, using VR, implementing it? What are some of those?
Yeah, well, so, you know, I think there used to be a lot of challenges around the technology. I mean, even just a year and a half ago, we were setting our customers up with expensive headsets that had to connect to backpack computers that you had to wear. Each set came in a large Pelican case and cost $6,000. And very often people would get nauseated with these sets. It was a 45 minute to an hour long setup before you wanted to do a sim. That aspect is largely resolved by the new all-in-one kind of commercially focused headsets, either from Oculus or HTC Vive. They're just drastically, drastically easier, drastically cheaper. So that aspect is probably no longer nearly as much of a challenge, but that used to be the biggest barrier. I think, you know, certainly there are limitations to VR simulation technology even now. Chief among them is probably the lack of tactile feedback. And so there are, you know, certain kinds of trainings that this is not good for. Like if you want to train somebody on how to place an IV and what that feels like, obviously this is not good, you know, or even the very early stages of physical exam maneuvers, like how to examine a knee well, how to, you know, what's the right amount of pressure that you're putting on a back when you're looking for fractures or things like that. This is really not the tool to use. Though I would say that's actually a relatively small part of most people's medical training. I think VR is very well adapted for, all right, well, I put in an IV, and it's not really working. So what do I do next? Or, okay, I pushed on the back and it hurts here, but not here. So what do I do next? And that kind of diagnosis and treatment algorithms is really where VR excels. So, you know, I think like any new technology, you just need to think of the modality and its strengths and weaknesses and apply it to the right place. If you apply it to the wrong place, then, you know, it's going to be a waste of an investment.
Do you have anything else that you would like to add?
I think we covered a lot of great ground, to be honest. Well, I mean, I guess it is worth noting that, you know, we launched this curriculum now 2 weeks ago, and you can check it out either through Elsevier or through CIMEX. CIMEXVR.com is our website. And it's for sale immediately. So especially undergraduate nursing institutions who are interested in picking it up can check it out. But, you know, CIMEX's underlying VR sim engine works across other disciplines as well, whether it's physician training or MAs or respiratory therapists. So happy to work with institutions to help meet their training needs.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm your host, Samara Rosenfeld.